Roddy De Sullivan is one of the kaitiaki of Motu Kaiti, the Motu land back for Ngāti Rōmahue, after being brought back from the Crown. And they have a restoration project taking place in their harbour, submitters on the fast-track approvals bill. Rarete was one of the submitters on behalf of Ngāti Rōmahue on that fast-track approvals bill, which was read in Parliament last week. Rarete, tēnā koe, thank you very much for joining us on our program today. Ngā mihi.
Yeah, tēnā koe.
Kia ora, can you tell us a bit about Motua Kaiti? I'm not really familiar with the rohe or the geographical features. Kōrero mai, share with our listeners too a little bit about this taonga that you love.
Yeah. So it's the motu is nestled right within our rohe. We've got Motueka Iti and Motueka Nui. One's little, one's small, and they just sit off just the Mahi Nepua Dock Reserve, which is part of the mainland. It's only a small island, Motueka Iti, and it's got whakapapa links to everyone within our hapu, and even though, you know, we got it land back, you know, land banked, which means, you know, taken off the private market, but even though on paper it's come back, it never really left our hapu. We've always had whānau travelling out there regardless of whose name was on the bit of paper that legally owned her. And even within my own whānau, like the island, kinda was the babysitter for my mum and her siblings. So my grandparents would be able to go fishing and diving around Motueka Nui. They'd park the boat up quite a way offshore, tell my mum and her siblings, they're all young tamariki, to just jump off, swim ashore, and not to go anywhere until they got back. So cracking right into that mahi, and just looking at restoration. I'm actually I'm actually doing work out there the next few days. You're just cracking on with that mahi. So she sits just south of the Whangaroa Harbour entrance, and you're kind of in between Whangaroa Harbour and the Cavalli Islands, like Motukau Nui and all them. So yes, it kind of just bang smack in the middle between the two, and you can definitely tell them from a mile away. They've got quite the unique profile, especially Motueka Nui, with its nickname is Flat Island, and it's because it is definitely quite flat. It's just in that southern Whangaroa coastline, is where those islands sit.
Tēnā koe, not too far from Kaiao. So when we look at the plans for the motu, there is a restoration kaupapa on at the moment. Perhaps you could talk with us about what's been restored and who's doing the mahi. Can you share some kōrero about that restoration project, please, Rodete?
Yeah. So the restoration, so because we got the motu back around that late December, early January, January this year, so I'm still in that. So I'm leading all planning mahi. It's kind of my expertise is around island restoration, and so what I'm doing at the moment has been just gathering a lot of information, just because our whānau haven't been, just over the years, more being a definite taha moana people, just getting our eyes back on the whenua, and so this year's been about just spicing out what the rākau are like out on the motu, natives versus weeds, and just having a good read of the whenua, just to see what challenges lie depending on which direction our hapu wants to take. I've identified all the major weeds that would be a problem for restoration, and now that we're into winter, I'm about to start the pest monitoring, so just to suss out what if we've got rodents or possums or mustelids or any of those nasties out there that might hamper that restoration. And then the plan is to give our hapu just a number of options, you know, do we restore it fully, or do we restore it partially, or do we restore it not at all, or, you know, do, it, it's kind of exciting for me to be able to, you know, not get shoehorned into one kind of narrow focus of what restoration looks like, but to present all options on the table for our hapu so that we can decide as kaitiaki and rangatira over our lands, what we want to do. So you're still sitting in that planning stage. So after I've done this pest monitoring for this winter, then it'll be the devising of all those plans to present back to hapu. And it also includes making it for the peninsula, just because it is so close to the motu. My grandfather and his brothers, you know, they used to be able to take their horses some across from Mahinepua to the motu. So if a horse can swim across, the rodent would definitely have no trouble getting there. So if we do the motu, we most definitely have to do the Mahinepua. And that's quite exciting too, because that's working alongside volunteer community groups that have already got some kind of trapping work going on, and just building on what's already there, and just working in partnership with our neighbours and our rohe. So still in that planning stage, but we should be closing up that planning stage within the next month or two.
Well, tēnā koe. Iwi bought the land or the island back from the Crown, and you were involved in the fast-track approvals bill submission process. Could you speak about that? Talk about your submission last week.
Yeah. So I did an oral submission against the fast-track bill. I did mention a little bit about the island, but my main focus was on the other pieces, the mainland whenua, especially our maunga that's most at risk, just from historical wishes of Australian companies to mine our maunga, and then the flow-on impacts that would have on this mahi with Mutuika Iti. You know, like if our, because the island looks back at our rohe and the valley where my people are, and it's all downstream of these maunga, and you know, it's that whakaaro that if we poison everyone in the valley because we've fast-tracked these mining consents and obliterated those maunga, it'll just poison the valley, and then I've got no kaimahi, no whānau, no, you know, and to me that's the most important thing, is it's whakapapa, it's our people being able to make decisions on the whenua that we live on. But that's my greatest fear with this fast-track bill, is that it's going to make the whenua unlivable. And if New Zealand history is anything to go by, they're very good at making patches of whenua unlivable. And that's without a fast-track bill. So, you know, I'm kind of a little bit mortified as to New Zealand's rationale for pushing ahead with something that clearly will not work.
Well, I really respect what you're doing going into bat for the motu and for the whenua. It was brought back, you were saying, it was in private hands, but no longer. That must be very satisfying, even though there's much work to be done.
Most definitely. I've got my own personal whakaaro around private ownership and the detriments it's had to both whenua and whānau, and just that to get it taken off that private market, because we're looking at all these rich fellas all across the world eyeing up whenua all over the place. We being kept in that private market, it was just I just looked at that motu as it was just in so much danger, because we had no idea who was going to buy, who was going to buy her, and who was going to, and what they were going to do, because she's in quite a pristine location, and she's got a beautiful beach, and just to get it taken off that private market, I'm trying to think of a kupu a bit that kind of describes how I feel with these whenua. I guess you just see investors that all they see is dollar signs and development, But we've seen what dollar signs and development have done to both Maui and the Waipouna movement. It's been disastrous. We're looking at climate change today, the effects of climate change, and it's been because of those whenua's been looked at with the big old Māori dollar sign, and it's now poisoning everything that we do. So we're definitely in need of change with the way we do things, because it's all about our, it's all about a mokopuna. It's all about the future generations that have to pick up the mess that we've made today. And so I like to think, you know, by doing this mahi, it's getting our rangatahi to look at the whenua. You understand its rhythms, its seasons. Understand the pūraku that deal with whenua in a way that not only are they working with it, but they can truly be the decision makers of that whenua. Will hopefully give them that same kind of awareness of the whenua that our ancestors had, to be able to be kaitiaki, to guard and defend that which will protect both whānau and whenua.
Tēnā koe, Rauriti. Oh, we're all in behind you as you mount the challenge to ensure that its long-term survival is assured. And it's been a pleasure having a kōrero about this motu kaiti, and Raurite Sullivan joining us on the program this morning. Thanks for Raurite. Mauri ori ki a koe, ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi.